so much better or have looked so much better with Cordero Patterson is simple. He knows where the hole is going to be, and he's there when he's supposed to be there. And in Najee Harris's case, it just does not feel like that at all.
I mean, what are the film guys saying about this? Are they trying to make excuses for him?
I mean,
are they
some of the film guys I'm seeing are actually, like, thinking he's being done wrong. Yes.
Oh, my God. How? Why? What are they, like, the offensive
They're
line?
They're claiming that there are plays where it seems like the advanced stats community thinks that there's a hole there, and then they put on the All-22 and say, where's the hole? But then how do you explain Patterson? Like, really, they're just blocking it up that much better for Cordero Patterson?
They like Patterson that much more. Oh, Najee's in the game. Let's not give him a hole. Oh, wait, here comes the
here comes
returner
a code
who's built like a defensive tackle.
Yeah,
let's really give him a
no, Najee's
nice
in the game. Here comes a code red. I mean, Najee is – I can't even say he's more explosive than Patterson because when Patterson gets the ball, he looks more explosive. But they seem to be saying that, like, I've seen bad scheme fit, i.e. Najee's just a power scheme blocking scheme runner. I've seen the advanced people just aren't right here. There's nothing for him to run to. But I've seen it enough, man. We're not talking about a guy either through four games of a career after, like, him. He was drafted this year in the first round, Pony. This is going to be game number 56 for his career. The one thing you could say about him is that he's always healthy. He's played 55 out of 55.
How many 100-yard games does he have?
I'll find it right now. I want you to guess.
I'm going to say 7.
Donnie? How many games of 100 yards or better on the ground do you think Najee Harris has? 55 games in the NFL.
I wasn't even going to go that high. I was going to go like 5 or 6. I'll go 5.
What was Pony's number?
7.
He has 6. 188 against Cleveland back in 2022, so the end of the 21 season because it was January
3rd. Yeah, the last game of the year.
122 against Denver in a win. 122 against Seattle. That was a really good, an objectively good game for him last year. 112 against Baltimore the following week. Again, given the conditions, very good game for him. And then when they beat Baltimore in early January of 2023, so the end of the 2022 season, he had a buckle. I'm sorry, one more after that. 105 in the Detroit tie, the famed Mason Rudolph throws the ball a bajillion times game. Now, he's gotten to 99 a couple times, and he's got a bunch of games above 90, Pony. But I just think the one stat for him that continues to drive it home is the yards per attempt for his career. He just, when he takes the ball, he is going to get less than 4 yards. And 4 yards is like your baseline number for is this a successful running play or not for a team. This guy, in his career, you give him the ball, you're getting 3.9. Not good enough. 22nd pick in a draft? Not even close to good enough.
Donnie, what are your thoughts on him flipping off fans and acting like he's going to go in there and
pick.
Wreak havoc on the Colts Sunday?
So I used to hate stuff like that. That's something that doesn't bother me a ton because I don't know. I mean, you compare it to Juju. I oddly don't make that as the comparison. Like, okay, like he individually did it himself, but it was as the team was coming out onto the field. Like the Juju thing was more like I have to get this video up on my TikTok before kickoff or else
yep. I agree with that.
My brand's going to take a hit.
I
also, it's going to be an odd take here. Given how the league is no longer like guys hate each other, I wish we had more stuff like this. I wish we had more stuff that made guys pissed off a little bit and made them not like each other. Like they're not all best friends and it's jersey exchange time after the game.
But do you like it when bad players incite stuff?
I mean, no, it looks bad when that's the case. But
I mean, when Tom Brady comes out and says, I'm going to go right after Anthony Smith because their safety play sucks, okay. He can say that. He's the GOAT. He's the
Anthony
greatest
Smith shouldn't
quarterback
be going
of all
there
time.
Saying, like, I'm going to be the Tom Brady stopper.
And I hate to say this, but I put Najee Harris more in that category than I do
of course you would.
Great quarterback. I mean, I've said this now a few different places. There are going to be running backs that get picked in March, in April's draft, that go in rounds 5 through 7 who are every bit the running back, if not better than him. Like, Chris, you've said before, Kenny Pickett's a third-round quarterback. Najee Harris, to me, is a 6th or 7th round running back. He has nothing distinguishes him or sets him apart as a great player.
No burst. I mean, he's
durability's the only thing that you've been able to come up with. He
physical
plays every
durability.
Week. Cool.
But I think he turns potentially longer runs into shorter ones. I think his vision is very bad. That was like the big thing early in his career. Just the all 22 crowd, the film crowd would cut up plays and say, man, what is he seeing? I just think he is a guy who is entirely reliant on his blocking. If you are opening straight ahead holes,
but we're seeing holes for him, and he's not even making anything.
I'm saying if the hole opens exactly where the hole is supposed to open, he'll run through it. But if there's any vision or reading of the blocks required, he's not going to do it. You know what he has a 100 rating in? Wanting to hurdle, desire to leap into the air. Can we stop doing that too?
But you said there that he needs the hole. My biggest complaint about him a couple years ago was that Warren would get that hole and he'd hit the hole, and Najee would tap dance and take his time and not burst right through it. So I don't even think he makes the most of those opportunities, to be blunt. Let's hear Arthur Smith on this, Donnie. I know he talked about why their run game was able to find success with Patterson and not Najee Harris. Here's what the Steelers offensive coordinator had to say about that.
Last week, some of the things they were doing, they brought a little more pressure than they have. They've been bringing in a lot of edge pressure, and people change it up. That's the game plan. Dallas do the same thing. They'll have something for us. I didn't think we were as clean early in the run game. I thought as the game wore down, really the backed-up drive, and CP happened to be in there. There's usually an adjustment that happens depending on how the game starts, and I thought we got rolling there. We've got a strong commitment to the run game. Clearly, Najee has been the lead carrier so far as the season. As you get going in this thing, as you're mixing and matching all linemen, there's a rhythm to the run game as well. And you saw probably in the Charter game, right, you can see in sync. But that's something that obviously we're continuing to work through, just like you do every year. And we need to be cleaner, definitely earlier in the game.
No answer there. I mean, he just rattled off a bunch of things to try to get through the question. He did not answer specifically why Patterson was able to find success in Najee.
Well, because you know why? Because I think he knows there's a defined reason. Cordero, at the very least, fits my system better and is a better back in my system. What's the argument against that? You'd say, well, Cordero can't handle 15 carries a game. He's in his mid-30s, basically. Okay. Figure out what the max number of carries is you can get Cordero Patterson until you start to feel like diminishing returns are going to creep in, and get him that number. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm not joking about that, and especially until Jaylen Warren gets healthy, which feels like it still might be a while.
I honestly think Sunday's the most annoyed I've ever been by him, by Najee. If you add everything up, their other running backs get injured. It's a bad run defense. They're really counting on him. He upped the ante by ticking these guys off with the middle finger before the game. Like, here's an opportunity for you to be the star and to be the bell cow and to be the catalyst and be the star player and all those things. And it was
nothing.
Probably the worst we've ever seen from him, man.
Yeah, I mean, he...
And he's snarky after the game about it, and I don't know. The whole thing just rubs me the wrong way.
I just don't think it's a good look for a guy that was a first-round pick that the head coach, and the head coach clearly figured this out on his own and took steps to remedy it. But the head coach thought this guy was going to be like the alpha dog personality in that locker room and like define their offense. Almost like, hey, don't worry, we drafted Kenny Pickett, but he just needs to go out and play football. Najee's the leader? And then he took all that stuff away from him because none of his behavior off the field or the way he'd address the media matched up with the team captain. Cam Hayward, to like his enormous credit, when things aren't always going well, he stands there and answers
questions.
You know
what? I'm happy you said that.
Najee just doesn't handle adversity well, and there's plenty of it when you play like he does.
I'm happy you said the thing about the captain. I'm not trying to come off as like an old fuddy-duddy or someone that clutches pearls or anything like that, but I can guarantee you Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt would not come out of a huddle in a place like Indianapolis and give fans the middle finger. They just would not do that. That's something that's just beneath them. To me, that's such like an immature, sophomoric thing to do.
There's just no reason.
Just go do your job,
look at,
man.
Okay, so obviously the Colts players took note of it when it happened, I'm assuming, right? Like those guys had to have seen it in the moment.
Yeah, because they showed it on the Jumbotron there.
Okay. What do we know about the way Mike Tomlin, when he was dapping the Colts up and saying, hey, those guys put on their uniforms and collect paychecks, he said, well, they just came out flying. Gee, I wonder if that had anything to do with the fact that they saw the running back here flipping the double birds and that might have motivated them.
Nah, man, he's a great player, man. Great player. We was going back and forth at all game. Competition, man, that's just what it is. He, tipped my hat off in victories, tipped my hat off in defeats. So when I saw that comment, it was more like, it was just like, I was just laughing. Like, hey, man.
You win,
congratulations.
You get to talk.
Yeah, I'm about to say you won. Like, yeah. You can talk whatever you want. it is what it is, you know what I mean? Can't win them all, but.
Did you have an idea that the double bird coming out might maybe get under their skin a little bit?
Man, I be blacking out. I don't remember. I didn't be doing that, so.
Najee Harris right there. I'm blacking out before games. Okay. I mean, he's got a good sense of humor about things, so I don't want to.
I think that the tail's a little. I will give him only this. The worst is when somebody talks smack, gets it like thrown right back in their face, and then doubles down. There was at least a little tail between the legs there, which I have to say, thank God it could have been worse
for
him.
I would just.
Man, just
I don't,
focus on just playing.
I don't think I would be able to take, in such good spirits, somebody calling me soft, though. His answer is to the victor goes the spoils. That would not be my take.
Especially if you try to
cultivate
the style.
The guy basically questioned my manhood.
Yeah, said and specifically made it a point to say the other guy was better.
Yep.
That would probably, honestly, that would bother me more if I were Najee and I were angling for a new contract at the end of the year because they didn't pick up my option. How old's Cordero Patterson? Is he 33 now?
Donnie, how old's CP84? Who continues to go on Twitter and push the Devontae Adams trade more than like guys who go by Pickensburg on Twitter.
I know, that's kind of
weird. It's unbelievable.
That's
Patterson's
odd.
Put out more mock-ups of Devontae Adams in a Steelers jersey than some of these accounts whose sole purpose is to do that stuff.
Yes, is Adams 2PGH or
whatever.
Yeah. Well, he didn't practice today, so maybe he had some time on his hands. Patterson's 33.
Like, imagine he's sitting next to Van Joseph in the locker room. Hey,
Van
what are
Jefferson.
You doing? Or Van Joseph. Van Jefferson. Hey, what are you up to, Cordero? Just putting out another mock-up of Devontae Adams
wait
taking
your
job.
Wait till you see this jersey swap I did of Devontae Adams. The memes are flowing, brother.
I gave him your number.
I will say this about Harris. I would be much more offended that a guy who's 33 years old, this same linebacker said, oh, yeah, he was a much better runner in that game. And also, if I'm Harris, what I'm really concerned about here is, like, I want a new deal somewhere. Probably not Pittsburgh next year, I would think. What are these opposing teams when they see me and they're scouting me and they're deciding whether or not I'm worth, like, a one-year whatever deal, $6 million deal next year? What the hell are they looking at? How much the Ravens paid Derrick Henry this year? It's like $9 million for 1 year. They're getting their money's worth. The guy's on pace to have a 2,000-yard season right now.
If a guy went out there and had a bad game, too, and said that he's blacking out, I think I might want to sit down with him. Like, we got to find a way to reel you back in, man.
Because you're so intense that you don't even know you're doing
this. Maybe you're going too far with this. And
I actually don't believe him that he was blacking out there. I think he knew exactly what he was doing, and that's a nice little way to, like, slough it off to the side.
Here's Adam on the fan. Hello, Adam.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
All right, let's talk about this Harris situation.
Yeah, where are you on him, Adam?
You know what? It jumped the shark. I'm done with him. He's a first-round pick. Is he a bust? I don't know, but he's borderline bust. I'm going to go with you, Pony. He's probably the third-best tailback on the team. I mean, that's the bottom line. He's probably the fourth-best running threat behind Fields. So let's just get this year over with, ship him off to wherever he's going to go. I'm sure he's going to get a nice contract somewhere else, most likely.
I'm not so sure about that, man. I'm not so sure that other teams are going to look at him and say, yeah, this is a guy we can plug and play and get production out of.
All right, so first guy up says he's over it. Here's Carter next. Hello, Carter.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
So I'm thinking it's looking like it's going to be done here. You know, that fifth-year option not getting picked up might have been the tell-all this offseason here. But I do have a story. I actually interacted with Najee a few years ago at my work. I don't know if you guys want to hear the story or not.
If it's a good one, I will. Sure.
It's nothing crazy, but he came in and talked to me and my other coworkers, and he asked the question, I make you all day. I kind of feel like that kind of tells what kind of guy he is. You know what I mean? So maybe he's a little full of it.
What did you make of him giving fans the middle finger before the game?
I feel like that is also a tell of that and then what I just told you guys. So,
Thank you, Carter. Like what? Just like a inflated sense of self-worth? Kind of like a...
Like walking in there like you would be Prince or something like that? Hey, you can tell everybody... Or what's, you know, hey, kid, you can say that you got dunked on by Michael Jordan or something. Like, come on, man.
He helped them get to the playoffs last year.
He played two very good games down the stretch.
Turned what was a forgettable season into at least one that wasn't a complete waste of time. I will give him credit for that. That's honestly where like my praise of him in a Steelers uniform begins and ends.
Well, I don't feel like we should feel any need or obligation to give him anything he doesn't deserve. He's played 55 games for this team. Less than 20% of them have been good.
Here's one of our favorites, Anthony in Oakland. He never pulls punches. Hello, Anthony.
Either the league or the team should fine him. That was inappropriate behavior. That was vulgar behavior, and it's not a reflection on the organization. He should have been fined for that, period.
He probably will.
Well, he should be.
Anthony, I like asking you this stuff, though, in all seriousness and not trying to goad you. Wouldn't the union have a lot to say about that if he got fined for flipping the birds?
No, they have a morals clause in the contract. And that's vulgar, but that would be considered vulgar behavior.
Well, if it happened on TV, Chris, they'd blur it out or the station would get fined for it. So I do actually agree with Anthony on that.
Yeah, he should be fined. Just because I can't remember the player, but something like that happened a few years ago, and that person was fined by the league because it was inappropriate. It could have caused a problem. Could have caused the violence.
Are you tired of him?
Well, I mean, at this point, he has jumped the shark. But let me say this quickly about Patrick Queen. You know, James Farrier, it took him a year. His first year in Pittsburgh, he didn't play very well. It took him a year. Ryan Shazier, you go back to his rookie season, he didn't play very well either in middle linebacker. I think it may take him a little longer than we're anticipating. I think, like you, he jump right into it and be a superstar. He has all the equipment. I think maybe putting this play calling on him has gotten him more robotic than when he was down in Baltimore, where he didn't have that responsibility.
All right, thank you, Anthony.
Well, he also
he's calling for Najee to be fined. Vulgar behavior. This is a guy that has called for people that have committed actual crimes to be signed by the Steelers. That is not lost on me.
No, that's kind of why I asked the union question.
Right, Donnie? Anthony's the first guy to call it and say, give that dude a second chance.
I think when Cam Sutton's name came up, we got into a loud argument with him about that, and he said the union would have a field day.
Yep. Here is Joe on the fan. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. Big fans from
Thank
California.
Cal, PA, like where Cal U is, or California the state?
No, California the state.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually flying in tonight for the weekend. I'm going to be hitting up the Steeler Rock style on Friday night, going to the game Sunday night.
Nice, man.
Bringing my wife and my 15-month-old baby.
Oh, congratulations on all your success. My baby's 14 months.
Yeah, thank you. No, thank you. I have a question for you guys. What's a great family weekend itinerary that you guys would recommend? Restaurants, activities, you know?
Wow, how about that, Malzi? Thank you, Joe.
Take the family to the Children's Museum.
Nice wholesome day.
Well, Children's Museum, you've got, you know, that little strip of bars on Western Avenue. You could go for a little drink in one of those places down by Pepe's if you want to stay in, like, near the north side.
Oh, man. I have not looked at, like, the events calendar here to see what else is going on in town besides
it's Oktoberfest.
The football game on Sunday.
It's Oktoberfest.
Yes, because when you think of 15-month-olds and what they're down to do.
So you've never had a beer?
No, I have. She went to Oktoberfest in Cannonsburg, so I can't
throw
stones here.
Your schnitzel, your bratwurst.
The only thing I'll say back to that is game starts at 8:15.
Yeah. What's the kid going to do?
Right?
Kid just going to be awake?
I guess West Coast time, so it's more like 5 o'clock for them.
By the end of the game, 8 o'clock, maybe that's around bedtime.
Yeah.
Put the little noise-canceling headphones on her and him. Did he say it was a little girl?
He did
girl?
Not give gender.
On the kid?
No.
And then, boom, you're done. I think you got to go Children's Museum.
Why not? Does Kennywood still have all their Halloween stuff going on?
Probably.
How about that?
Yeah, they should.
I saw Cabali was tweeting about Kennywood earlier.
How long do you think it was ago that the first person used the phrase Kennywood's open to tell somebody their fly was down? Hey,
1980s.
Hey, Bill, Kennywood. Probably
1983.
Yep. The greatest year in human history.
I've heard.
If we peaked as a civilization in John football.
If anybody wants to text in some things for our last caller to do, let us know and we'll pass it along to him. Here's Ray in Homewood. Hello, Ray.
How's it going?
Ray, are you a Najee apologist?
Okay.
Oh, nice. Are you a Najee guy?
This is my thing. I'm around Barney's age. My thing is when the Steelers draft a running back, for some reason I get attracted to them guys. But on what he did on Sunday pissed me off.
Yeah. Why's that?
Oh, because simple. I started him in fantasy over Kenneth Walker.
Yeah, that'll
I don't
do
know
it.
Why I thought Kenneth Walker wasn't going to play, man. Yeah, I ended up. That was the first time Najee Harris actually pissed me off, man. You know, so. I don't know. But I got a question for you, Pony. Just one question. Over the past 2 years, you know, you get on Najee, you know, I get it, I understand it. But my thing is, I never heard you talk about Kenny the way you did Najee.
Is that true, you think, Chris?
You gave Kenny every excuse in the book.
Yeah, I did. I don't know if I gave him every excuse.
You gave him every chance to win you over. I would say that's a fair critique.
I also like the idea of drafting a franchise quarterback in the first round much more than a running back. So I'm going to give that the process of trying to find your next franchise quarterback there in the draft, I'm going to give that more leeway than when you pick a running back there.
I mean, I try not to hold the fact that they are the – like, one thing I do – I've said it about Najee, so I hope when I say it, it comes off more as a critique of the team because that's what it's intended as. But one thing I do try to avoid with him is try to – I don't want to rip him for where they drafted him. It's not his fault that he was a first-round pick. It's the same, like, logic I would apply to Terrell Edmonds. It's not his fault they took him in the first round when most people had him graded as a third. Now,
but you could say back to Kenny, it's not his fault that he was a third round quarterback that got picked in the first round.
I tried not.
If you evaluated him like a third round guy, then you would have been much kinder about his play.
Well, I would have just said you don't take that. It's more damaging to take a fourth round or third round graded quarterback in the first round than it is even to take like a third round graded safety because you're using the premium pick on the most important position on the field and it's on a guy who's in over his head. I guess my point is independent of where the Steelers draft.
Yeah, but I'd rather like if I'm going to take a shot on a guy.
Yes,
rather
you're
be
supposed
a quarterback
to take a shot on a quarterback, but like it hurts you just as much, if not more, when you don't get the shot misses. I guess independent of where they drafted Najee Harris, not fully independent, because if he was an undrafted free agent who ripped off 3,000-yard seasons, even inefficient ones, I'd have to give them props for that. But largely independent of where they drafted him, he's just been disappointing. He's been frustrating. He's not a great – for a guy who has had a very up-and-down career and a very stop-start career, I don't think he's got the personality to handle it well.
Verizon, the official 5G network of the Pittsburgh Steelers, is treating deserving veterans – to lunch with Cam Hayward. That's really cool. Head to Verizon today by October 20th to nominate a vet. No purchase necessary, 18 plus to enter. Visit lunchwithcamhayward from Verizon.com for details. That music you hear right now means it's time for a Donnie Football Debrief, and it's brought to you by his friends at Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington, or Mount Washington, as some say.
The Debrief, October 3, 2024. A bit of a college football minute here. We will also mention the big high school matchup we have on KDKA tomorrow night. But the Pitt Panthers, 4-0, heading to Chapel Hill this weekend against North Carolina, and they get a bit of a boost in an offense that is already going pretty well. Rodney Hammond available to play for the Panthers. So a nice little boost, somebody who had over 500 yards and four touchdowns last season. Pony, we got to give you credit. I mean, everybody loves to dump all over you when things go south in your predictions.
And they
often do. You're going to blow your Pitt over-under prediction out of the water, my friend.
That's right, Donnie. Thank you. Malsy, you have anything to say about that?
I think the way you did the math on it before we had ever seen Eli Holstein play still made me pretty convinced that you were just doing a good math equation. 5.5 just seemed pretty easy to get to when they had some of the early season cupcakes that they were going to feast on. Like, you felt like they were coming out of the chute probably getting 2, maybe 3, and now they've gotten 4. What none of us could foresee was that they got a guy who's a baller at the most important position. He appears to have, like, the want to be in that moment. He makes all the big plays. He elevates the guys around him. They obviously believe in him. You know, it's a question I've asked myself briefly. How did the competition come right down to like the last days of practice? No offense to Nate Yarnell, but if Eli Holstein looked anything like this at Pitt's practices, this thing should have been cut and dried and decided well before their first game.
Well, I heard
of the
he
year.
Had a lot of ground to make up because the spring didn't go great, and he was such a fast charging horse in fall practice that they said, the heck with our preconceived notion that Yarnell's our guy. We got to go to Holstein. Also, by the way, with the amount of NIL money he's making, it's hard to keep somebody on the bench who is now getting paid by the collective there at Pitt.
He's earning it.
I think Hammond will be a nice change of pace to Reed, who still has to be by far their number one back. This game, though, on Saturday scares me against North Carolina.
Every Pitt game scares every true Pitt fan.
Has Pitt ever beaten North Carolina? I want to say they're 0-7 against them since joining the ACC. All I can think about are heartbreaking losses like that Thursday night game where both teams were trending towards the ACC championship game and Marquise Williams played great, and the Trubisky game where he turned Ryan Switzer into Wes Welker and they killed Pitt. Like, they, for whatever reason, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, mediocre, they have Pitt's number. The line is super small. They gave up 70 points to James Madison.
Pitt has beaten them. They've lost the last two, 41-24.
They won the Kenny Pickett-Sam Howell showdown.
Yeah, that's right.
30-23 in the pouring rain.
I forget that game because I think there was an NFL game on that night on a Thursday night, and I was drunk at the Greenbrier
casino. Congratulations on all your success.
But yes, that's right. Thank you. That was an overtime game, correct?
Yes.
Against North Carolina?
They also beat them in 2019, 34-27. You're really
so
wrong.
So what's their
now.
Record against North Carolina then?
I'm going through it right now. We're compiling.
Have they lost 7 games? Was I right about that number at least?
They've lost a fair number of games to North Carolina. They usually run, and usually in like semi-gut punch fashion. In fact, even the Peterman team that beat Clemson managed to go down in flames 37-36.
The thing about Pitt is the Florida State collapse has eliminated a team at the top that could potentially, well, not that anyone really thought Pitt was going to compete for a ACC championship game or college football playoff before the season. I didn't really even think that. Once I saw Holstein play, I thought it was possible. But the other thing that's happened here is I think the depth of the league is better than I thought. If you look at their last 3 games, for example, I think it's Clemson, Louisville, and Boston College.
Could yes. be 0-3.
They could
Finals
lose all
two on the road.
Yeah, they could lose all 3 of those games.
They're definitely not going to be favored against Clemson, I would say.
And
BC is 1-0 and obviously beat Florida State.
And that's on the road?
Yes.
And then is the...
And Louisville?
Is on the road or here?
That's on the road.
See, I think they're going to be underdogs in all 3 of those games. Maybe they win one. I mean, Pitt will raise its level of competition against good teams, even in years where they're not that impressive. I think at the very least, though, they're going to a bowl game. There's still a chance to get my prediction right of them being ranked at some point this season, which I believe if they win on Saturday, they will get ranked. And more important than anything else is they have their quarterback. The question just becomes, can they keep him here? When you have guys like Dave Portnoy coming out and saying that he's going to give $3 million to a quarterback to go to Michigan and then appear on the Barstool shows, and I think some Pitt fans mentioned that he was at
LSU during their bye week. Somebody tweeted us and said it, but I think he's from there.
Yeah, that I'm not worried about that as much as, well, I guess
he was
I
at the LSU
about
game,
that.
But they said he's just from there.
Oh. Well, but you know what? As a Pitt fan, hearing that, I can't lie to you and say that it doesn't make me nervous that today's college football players always think about the grass being greener somewhere else. I think they do, and frankly, if I was 19 years old, I would probably be doing the same thing. Constantly looking for what was best financially for me. Probably isn't always best in the long run to transfer from school to school and start over again and again and again, especially if you're in a good spot. The way I could see Holstein leaving Pitt after this year, not to like ring alarm bells, would be if Cade Bell got a job somewhere else.
Like if Cade Bell got a job as an OC at a big time football factory,
yeah.
And guess who follows him right to said factory?
I mean, I hate to be too negative, but that scenario is plausible.
Well, I think it's good that you're just preparing Pitt fans for the potential worst. Yeah, he's from like 10 minutes north of Baton Rouge.
And his dad played at Florida. So that's the other thing I've thought about. Donnie, what's your high school game this week?
5A matchup, Peters Township and Moon. So we will be just down the road from where I'm sitting right now. This is certainly a big one as the calendar turns to October, because as we approach the playoffs, there are three teams in this conference, the Allegheny Six, who are all unblemished, 6-0. Bethel Park, South Fayette, Upper St. Clair. The next two, Peters Township and Moon, so that one certainly has a lot of meaning. You want to take a guess the only winless team in 5A?
Baldwin.
Yes, sir. Nope. City Limits.
Dave Wanstead. Jason Pinkston, is he on the coaching staff there? Or is Pinkston a Baldwin guy who says...
He's at Central.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, so that should be a meaningful...
Wasn't Kurt Heinisch a Baldwin guy who ended up at Central?
Like, I know he played at Central, yeah.
I think he's from Baldwin, too.
And he went to Notre Dame. Do you know people that pronounce it Notre Dame?
Beano
Cook.
Or
was that just Beano Cook who did that?
No, I think people like to sound fancy and do it that way. N-O-T-R-A-H.
Yeah. Never been a big fan of that school.
Really?
No.
Yeah. Does any school have a higher percentage of fans of its football team who did not attend the school?
Alabama?
I don't know, man. I think you've got a lot of people who went to Alabama. That's a big school.
How about Penn State?
Again, 500,000 alums or whatever. They got like one of the biggest
alumni
networks.
And more alums in Allegheny County than anywhere in the world.
I mean,
if I had
seriously.
A dollar for every time I heard that, man. I'd be rich right now.
BYU got a lot of Mormon fans who didn't go to the school.
That's a good one.
Well, Hoke's a fan.
Don't forget about Hokie, bro, on that.
Wait, where did Hoke go?
BYU.
Yeah, I'm saying guys.
And all the sons are headed
who
there.
Who didn't go to the school, I mean.
Oh.
Like I'm saying
Notre
Dame
has. No, but
Notre
I think your point that BYU has a lot of fans that are
Because there's a religious connotation.
Correct.
Obviously, you know, Roman Catholic fans, you know, go to Notre Dame. You know, they have apparently a mass in a crypt church, like, you know, underground church right after games, usually, like 30 minutes after the game.
Where
goes
guys
final.
Go in their uniforms and stuff?
No, like, I think it's for fans. So, oh, yeah, you just might have gotten done screaming your lungs out that the opposing players. Now go to church. My brother said his best friend growing up, still his, like, best friend since childhood, went to Notre Dame. My brother said it was, as much as he, like, was kind of preconceived notion, like, I'm going to hate this, I don't really cheer for them, he did say the experience is awesome. The fans, extremely polite. Like, the tailgate scene, very fun.
I want to do it.
He said the in-stadium atmosphere is almost, like, too respectful sometimes
when
the other team has the ball.
When I was driving to Indy, I looked to see what time the Notre Dame-Louisville game was. But then I realized that South Bend is north from Indianapolis.
Very north. It's closest to it's an hour from Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically an extended Chicago suburb almost.
So that really wouldn't have done anything for me.
Big touchdown Jesus, things of that nature.